anointing upon this word today. Lord, our heart's desire this year is to draw closer to you. Lord, in everything that we do, everything that we find with our hand, that may we do it unto you with all the glory that you so rightfully deserve. Now, Father, we lift up Pastor John as he brings forth this message. Lord, may it encourage us, may it challenge us, may it provoke us to a deeper walk this year with you. And Father, we ask that you move upon him mightily, and Lord, that you anoint our hearts with your spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. A couple of weeks ago, as Pastor Don mentioned, I did begin a series about drawing closer to God. And we saw that what God desires is a deep, close, personal relationship with us. He wants to have that type of relationship with every single person. It's not just like a corporate relationship, it's an individual relationship. And God wants to have that with all of us. You know, there's nobody left out. God doesn't want to leave anybody out. James 4:8 tells us, come near to God and he will come near to you. Isaiah 55:6 tells us, seek the Lord while he may be found and call on him while he is near. Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. We also saw that knowing about God is not the same as knowing God. That we don't just want to know all about him, we want to know him personally. The Apostle Paul understood exactly what God meant by the importance there of knowing God when he said in Philippians 3:8, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. You know, we saw that we were originally designed by God to have this intimate relationship. He created us to be friends with us. He used to come down. We saw an instance where it said he was walking in the cool of the day and he was looking to talk with Adam. But what happened was sin entered the world, and that relationship, that fellowship, was cut off. And it wasn't until Jesus gave up his life for us, the perfect sacrifice for sin, Jesus, that God was once again able to restore that fellowship, to have that relationship with his people again. And the blood of Jesus is what did it. It purified us. It washed away that sin. And because of that, he has now become our high priest. In the Old Testament, they used to have to come all the time and make more sacrifices. But Jesus has become the high priest that made the sacrifice of himself once and for all. And he opened up the Holy of Holies. That curtain, if you remember, was torn in two from top to bottom. And it said this in Hebrews 10:19 through 22. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. And that's what we're talking about, drawing nearer or drawing close to God. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why our Heavenly Father sacrificed the life of his one and only Son. So we would have the ability as his people to once again come back to draw close to God, to get into that intimate relationship with him. And so today I want to begin by asking you, how hungry are you for this relationship? How hungry are you for God? Are you hungry for God? To what degree are you driven to be in God's presence? How much do you desire to spend time with him? First, I want to look at what it means to be hungry for God. We have the perfect analogy in our physical body about hunger. In 1 Corinthians 15:46, it says, "The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual." God will often use things in the natural realm to help us understand the things that are going on in the spiritual. He'll use the things that we can see to explain the things we can't see. And I believe there's a reason, besides our need for food, that God designed our bodies to experience hunger. The feeling of hunger. God wants us to feel the reality, the desire, the longing, the reality of that hunger, the being famished, the feeling empty, being willing to do whatever it takes to fill that need, to fill that void, to fill that emptiness. He wants us to know that, and hunger, natural hunger, is a way to understand it. We can certainly feel all those things when we're hungry and we need food. If you remember the story in Genesis 25:29, when Jacob was cooking some stew, and Esau came in, it says, from the open country, famished, starving, hungry. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" So he swore on oath to sell his birthright. Now, that birthright was very, very important. In those days, the oldest son became the head of the family, received all the lands, the flocks, the gold, the money, whatever there was there. He received that. That was his inheritance. They got some, the other kids got some too, but the oldest got the majority of it, and he became the new leader. And so, you know, Jacob said to him, "I want to have your birthright. If you want this stew, sell me your birthright." And Esau was so hungry, he said, "That's fine, I don't care. Take my birthright. Take everything I'm ever going to get. Just give me a bowl of soup, a bowl of stew." Now, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? You know why it sounds ridiculous? Because we've never experienced that kind of hunger. In the Old Testament, we read stories about cities that were under siege, where there was no food, no food at all. And the people were eating dirt. They were eating their animals. They were eating their own children. They became cannibals because they were starving. Even today, in many poor countries, when there's a big a supply of food that comes in, you'll find that there will be food riots, people trampling over one another to get at the front of the line because they know it's going to run out, and they want to get that bowl of rice or that box of dried milk or that bag of rice or maybe a little bit of chicken or something like that because there's no food. We've never experienced that in this country like that. Our nation has always been blessed with an abundance of food. We talk about people in this country going hungry, but it's nothing like that. There's always some place in our country to find food. There always has been. Most people in this country have never been desperate, really desperate for food because of a desperate hunger. We sing a song called Breathe. Sometimes we sing that song and it says, "This is the air I breathe. This is my daily bread." It's talking about God. It's talking about Christ. And it's like that He's the air that we breathe, which we know we have to have, and that He's our daily bread. And He says, "I am desperate for you. I'm lost without you." And that's how we would be without food. We would be desperate for food if there was none, and we would be lost without it if there was none. And now God wants us to understand this idea of hunger and have this hunger for Him, to long for Him, to thirst for Him, to pant after Him, to desire Him as someone who was starving for food. David understood it. In Psalm 42, he said, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Psalm 63, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. See, he's comparing it to thirst, hunger, need. Isaiah understood it. Isaiah 26:9, my soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. And Isaiah 55, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good. And he's not talking about food. And you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. He's talking about taking in Christ, taking in God. And in this same verse, we find a major clue as to why so many Christians are never really hungry for God and yet never truly satisfied. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? There's the clue. We're malnourished often because we're spending our life on what is not good. We're spending our time and our energy on what is not good and what is not really God. And it doesn't satisfy. We're filling our spiritual stomach up with the equivalent of junk food. Instead of eating nourishing food, instead of having the best food, we're eating the equivalent of Twinkies and pop and cookies and chips and candy. Have you ever tried to subsist on that? Have you tried to just live on just that stuff? You know, for a while, maybe especially when we're younger, it might seem good for a while. And then after a while, you start to notice it just starts to taste like garbage. And after a while, you start to feel sick. And if you keep going after a while, you will be sick. Because our body was not made to live on junk food, on things like pop, cookies, snacks, candy, Twinkies, those kind of things. We'll start to fall apart. We'll break down. Our body will start to break down. And then we wonder, well, why don't I feel good? Why don't I feel good when that's the kind of stuff I'm taking in, not now as real food, but in the spiritual sense? Why don't we feel the power of God in our lives when we're just eating junk? Why don't we feel the closest to God like we could? Why can't we hear His voice more clearly? Why aren't we filled with God's joy and His peace and His love like we would like? Why? Because we're filled with junk food. We can't expect God to fill us up by just pushing His way into all the little cracks and crevices when we've already filled ourselves up with everything from the world. We have to put God and His kingdom and His word first in our lives. There will still be time left over then to do everything that we need to do, and there'll even be time to do some of the things that we would like to do. But if we put everything else first, you know what? It seems like there's hardly ever any time for God. We can't allow God to be second. We can't let Him play second fiddle. We can't allow Him to be second to anything. Not our work, not our finances, not our hobbies, not our pleasure, our kids, our spouse, even good things. Even good things like Christian music or Christian books or even serving. Even serving as a Christian. You know, those are all great things. But the thing is they can't take priority over a relationship with Jesus. Remember the story of Martha and Mary. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and get to know him, to learn him, learn from him. And Martha kept complaining, Jesus, Lord, won't you tell her to come and help me work? Come and help me work. I want to get this done. I want to get that done. And Jesus said, you know what, Martha? There's plenty of time for that kind of stuff later. Mary has chosen what is better, and I'm not going to take it away from her. There's probably no worthier endeavor than to help and to serve people, to love and serve people. I mean, that's what we're told to do all throughout the Scriptures. And yet, Jesus right there said he wasn't going to take Mary away from spending time with him because he knew that there's priorities. Jesus was only going to be there for a short time. The work was going to be there forever. There's always work to do. There's always work to do. But there are times when we need to spend time with Jesus, and the work can wait. Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all those things will be given to you as well. Over and over throughout the Scriptures, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the things of God. Seek first God. James 4:8. Come near to God and he will come near to you. John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That's Jesus there comparing hunger and thirst to having a relationship with him. You know, sometimes the problem is that we get a taste of God. And I would imagine everybody in here has had at least a taste of God, I would hope. And sometimes we get that taste of God and then we think, that's it. We've had it. We've arrived. We've been there. We've done that. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. But God gives us a taste so that we can see how good he is. Why? So that we will be drawn in then and to be filled even more. So that we will want more. We get a taste of something. That's why they have those tasters that you go to, you know, the Sam's Club or, you know, some of these stores, they have these little tasters because they want you to taste it and then buy it. Sometimes we get used to living off the crumbs. And yet God has a banquet ready for us. We just take a taste and go about our way. And God says, come on in. Fellowship with me and eat with me. The Father and I, we want to eat with you. We're knocking at your door. We want to spend time with you. And we grab a crumb. We grab one of those little tiny cups, squeeze it in our mouth, look around for a basket or leave, you know, to throw it away in, and we're done. We have to be hungry for God. When was the last time you broke down and cried before God? Humbled yourself, repented of all the junk in your life and cried out, Lord, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for you. Fill me up. I need more of you. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Create in me this heart, this pure heart, this You know, we have to break down and you know, and let just get all that junk out of us. It's a little further down in verse 17. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. That's one of the ways we get into God's presence. Rejecting all the amusements of the world, the diversions of the world that fill up our life sometimes. And we have to go then and humble ourselves before God and hunger for Him. Isaiah found himself in this kind of place. In Isaiah 6:1, it says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. He saw God. He was in the presence of God. He somehow stopped. He put aside all the other stuff, and he found himself there at the feet of God, in the presence of God. And how did he respond? Did he just take that taste and run away, go about his business? Isaiah 6:5 says, Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, as we all are. And I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. He basically came undone. The presence of God was so overpowering that everything else was gone. All that there was God. When was the last time we got to that place? When John met the Lord in the book of Revelations, it says that he fell as though dead at the feet of Jesus. To be in the presence of God is so overwhelming that nothing else matters. Everything else fades away, and there's only God. It fills the temple. The train of His robe filled the temple. There was no room for anything else, just God. Remember when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Everyone thought they were drunk because they were filled with the presence of God. God wants His Holy Spirit to fall on us so heavy that sometimes we're just undone. We become dead to everything but Jesus. That's not going to happen all the time because we do have things to do. We have work to do. We have to drive our car. We have to do the laundry. We have to cook dinner. We have to shovel the snow. We have to cut the grass. We have a lot of things we have to do as people. We have responsibilities. We have to go to work. We have to, you know, raise the kids. We have to change the diapers. We have to, you know, do all kinds of things. But there are times when we can make the time to get into that place, to become dead to everything else except Jesus. Are we hungry enough to want to experience that overwhelming presence of God? Does that even tantalize us? Does it sound good? We got to get hungry. We need to have this hunger in us to go after God. Sometimes people are afraid to take that step because they think, what is God going to require of me if I start to get too close? And so we sort of stand off to the side, and the King of Kings walks by, and we miss out because we were afraid to touch Him. But if we're really hungry enough, that fear will be gone. The fears all go on, and we'll press on. We'll get through all the distractions, all the things that get in our way, all our fears and all of our inhibitions. And then what happens is we'll reach out and grab the hem of His garment. We'll grab hold of Jesus, just like that woman did one time, right through the crowd. She found a way to reach through the crowd and grab hold of the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was healed. We'll climb up a tree like Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector who just had to see Jesus. He was short. He couldn't see Him over the crowd, so he climbed up in a tree. And because he had a hunger, Jesus said, come on down. I want to have lunch with you. I want to get to know you. Because you took the time to come and make that effort to see me, I want to eat, sup, spend time, relate with you. There's another story where a guy got his friends to carry him. They dug a hole in the roof and they lowered him down through the roof because he had to meet Jesus. And you know what? Those people didn't care how they looked to others. They weren't afraid, they weren't worried about appearances, about what was proper. They weren't worried about their fears and their inhibitions. They were concerned with taking care of that hunger inside them and meeting Jesus. They were hungry for God. Are you tired of eating the crumbs off the table and just having little tastes, little samples, and not ever getting a real meal? Are you tired of seeing others walking in victory, receiving God's blessing, and feel like you're missing out maybe? Are you tired of hearing about other people's special times with the Lord and wondering, like, how come I'm not having that intimate time with God? Are you tired of feeling lukewarm in your faith? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for God? Is this something that you want? Are you hungry? Hungry to be with Jesus, to know Him, to love Him, and to know His love for you, to know how much He loves you, to sense His presence. Do you get hungry for that? Hungry to have the Holy Spirit fill you up with His passion for the things of God, to have a holy fire consume you. There's only one way it's going to happen. This is an important statement. There will be no fire on the altar without a sacrifice. There will be no fire on the altar without sacrifice. No passion without sacrifice. God wants us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him. We need to lay ourselves basically up on that altar and ask God to burn up all the junk, all the garbage, everything that we have fallen for, all the mirages that have tempted us and seduced us, all the things that we thought were going to satisfy. We need to lay that all on the altar and let God burn it up. Burn up everything that is not pleasing to Him. Are we hungry enough to do that? To give God control over what's going on in our life? To let Him sort it all out? Could you trust God to be the one who gets rid of some things in your life and keeps other things? To let Him tell us what to get rid of, what to burn? God could only fill up what's been emptied out. If we don't get some of that stuff out, there's no room for God to come in. Are we hungry enough to empty ourselves out? When we are hungry, think about this now. When we are hungry, the goal is to get food inside of our stomach, right? Isn't that what we do? We don't just want to hear about food. We don't want to read about food. We don't want to see pictures of food. We don't want to look at it or touch it or smell it or even taste it. We want to get filled up with that food to take away that hunger. We want to have a good meal. We want to enjoy ourselves eating. God made satisfying hunger very pleasurable in both the natural and the spiritual. Are we hungry like that for God? Are we hungry like that for God? Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If we want to be filled with God, we have to hunger for God. If we want to have more of God in our life, if we want to be closer to God, have that close personal relationship, we have to be hungry for God. Hungry enough where we start thinking about Him. You know, when you get hungry, you start thinking about food. You ever go stand in front of the refrigerator and just look? I am hungry. What is there here to eat? Not that. No, that's old. That's been there a couple days. I don't really want to go through all that trouble to make that, you know? We start thinking of all this stuff. But we're hungry. And sooner or later, we come up with something to eat. Unfortunately, a lot of times it ends up being something we can just grab, right? Snack food. Because we don't really want to make a meal. But God is saying that we need to have that kind of hunger for Him. And we need to search for Him while He may be found. We need to take the time to get that meal of God, that meal of His Spirit, that meal of His Word, and fill ourselves up with Him. So how hungry are you? I want to ask the prayer team to come forward. And I really think that there's people in here that are hungry. I think that sometimes we just, you know, do you ever get hungry, but then you get yourself involved in something else, and then you say, oh man, I forgot to eat. And the hunger just sort of passes. You know, that can happen too with God. We can have the leading of the Spirit calling us, drawing us, and that hunger can be there. And then the hunger passes because we don't do anything. We don't go for it. And I really think that God wants us to get hungry for Him. I know He wants us to get closer to Him. I know I need to get closer to Him. I know I need to get more hunger for God. I'm not just pointing at everybody else. I'm pointing at all of us, myself included. God wants us to be hungrier for Him. He wants us to get closer to Him all the time. It's a never-ending thing. We will never, in this flesh, in this world, in this life, we will never get too close to God. We will never be oversatisfied with God. That can't happen. We can't get too much of God. And I think God wants us, this church here, this body, everyone who hears this message, God wants us to recognize the hunger signals, to start responding to those hunger signals in the right way, realizing that it's God making those little feelings happen. It's not our computer calling us. It's not a book calling us. It's not a radio station or a TV show or some sporting event or some concert. Those things aren't calling us. They're there. We run after them, but none of those things are calling us. But it tells us in the Word that God is knocking at the door of our heart. He's calling us. And God is the one who puts this hunger in us. And that hunger is the call. And we have to learn to figure that out, to not always just run after the first thing that appears before our eyes. Instead, go after the true source, the root of our fulfillment, God Himself. I really want to encourage you to come up here today, get some prayer, and just say, I just need to be more hungry for God. I need to recognize that. So I'm going to close in prayer, and I hope you just really join me. Because I'm there too, you know. I want to be more hungry. I really do. I don't think any of us in here can say we've had our fill of God. Is there anybody here that's so full of God that they don't need any more? I know I can't say that. Father, we come to you. We come to you, Lord, because you are the bread of life. You are the river of life. You are the one that we have tasted and seen that is good. You are the one that is calling us and drawing us to you, wanting to have a deeper relationship with you. Lord, you make us hungry. You make us hungry for the good things. You make us hungry for the best thing, which is you. But Lord, so many times we have stuffed ourselves with the things of this world. Lord, we repent of that right now. We repent of that right now, of turning to everything but you. Lord, we want to know you more. We want to love you more. We want to spend time with you. We want to respond to your call. We want to be able to hear that call, to understand that call, to recognize that call, that hunger for you whenever it touches us. That we would learn to respond and know that every time we respond, the blessing will be there. Lord, I know you blessed the paralyzed man. He got up and walked. You blessed the tax collector who climbed the tree. He got to spend time with you. Changed his whole life. Lord, you blessed the apostles when they were filled with your Spirit. And Lord, I know you want to bless us abundantly as we spend time with you, as we respond to that hunger for you. God, make us hungry. Make us hungry, Lord God. Make us hungry for you more and more and more. Make us hungry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.